It's well known that the Buddha would often refuse to answer metaphysical questions, the kinds of questions that address issues like what is the underlying structure of reality, how does it work. There was a standard list in his time of the questions that thinkers would debate, whether the world is finite or infinite, eternal, non-eternal, whether there was a life force that was separate from the body or the body itself was identical with the life force, whether an awakened person after death existed, didn't exist, both or neither. There are other questions of a metaphysical nature that the Buddha also refused to address, whether the world was a oneness or plurality, whether there was a self, whether there was no self. From this, a lot of people have come to the conclusion that the Buddha gave no importance to metaphysical issues at all. The most extreme example of this is the view that says the Buddha had no ideas about the nature of reality. He was agnostic. He had found what worked for him, bringing his mind to peace, offered the path as a suggestion, but basically recommended everybody find their own path because reality is unknowable. That's not the case at all. There was one big metaphysical issue that the Buddha addressed in a lot of detail and gave a lot of importance to it. That was the question of human action and the causal laws that underlay human action. The question of whether good and evil were built into the nature of reality or whether there were social conventions. The Buddha had a lot to say on this. And it's very relevant to what we're doing right now. You might say the Buddha's metaphysics is a metaphysics you can use. And it's very important because the big issue he addressed was the question of suffering and how to put an end to suffering. Well, suffering is something that you do. The act of putting an end to it is also something you do. So the Buddha had to address the question of action, because questions about action address such issues as, is everything you do predetermined? Is the world totally chaotic, random, so you can't learn anything from today that could apply to tomorrow? These issues have to be addressed. We can see that the Buddha gave so much importance to them that he would often would actually seek out people who were teaching wrong view that would get in the way of the power of action. Question them, do you actually teach this? Do you teach that everything you experience now is determined by past actions? Do you teach that everything you experience right now is determined by a creator God? Is everything totally chaotic with no pattern at all? And if the other people said yes, then you would point out that there's no holy life. There's no idea what should and should not be done when you teach that kind of thing. That's strong criticism coming from the Buddha. So he set out his principles. In his most basic description of his awakening experience, he set out a basic causal principle. In his description of mundane right view, it's all about the power of karma. There are good and bad actions, and they do have results. It's not just a convention, a social convention. It's built into the nature of things. And there's a world after this one. It's his way of saying there is rebirth. The implication being that the results of actions that you're experiencing now may have come from actions way in the past. And what you're doing right now may have implications that go way into the future. As for the underlying causal principle, it's basically two principles that intersect. When this is, that is. When this isn't, that isn't. That's one principle. When from the arising of this comes the arising of that, from the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. In the first case, what you have is immediate results coming from your actions. You stick your finger in the fire, it hurts right now. You don't have to wait for a future lifetime. Pull your finger out of the fire, it stops burning. there may be some pain. That applies under the second principle. You did something, will have some consequences that will last for a while. But eventually those consequences will end. Because the cause itself ended. Now, when you put these two principles together, the Buddha adds that you do have some choice in what you do. In other words, even though there are causal influences, not everything is determined by what was done in the past. The things you do right now that would have influences right now or on in the future allow you to exercise some certain amount of freedom. So you want to take advantage of that freedom. And this is where these principles become relevant to what you're doing right now. On the one hand, you can be generous. The immediate result of generosity is a sense of well-being, a sense of your own wealth, having something to share. But also ripples out into the future. As the Buddha said, when you're generous, one of the results is that you will have solid wealth. And that will give you more opportunities to be generous. So a small act of generosity now can build up momentum over time. As you become more and more generous, having more and more things to share. That is a possibility. There's also the possibility of curbing your bad habits. Just because you've had a bad habit for a long time, or there's been a destructive emotion in your life for a long time, doesn't mean that has to keep on lasting. Doesn't mean you have to give in to it right now. You learn to step back from it. Look at how you breathe around it. Look at how you talk to yourself around it. Look at the perceptions and feelings you have around it. You can change those. Now, they may not immediately destroy the habit, but they can chip away and chip away. You have that element of freedom. And over time, if you keep at it, you find you can free yourself from whatever it was. You see the allure, why the mind went for it. You can also see the drawbacks. You get to the point where the drawbacks in your vision so outweigh the allure that the allure no longer has any appeal. Then you can escape. What this also means is that if you go back to try to find where the bad habit began, you might be able to trace it to an event earlier on in your life. But was that the beginning? What did that event come from? It could have come from karma in a previous lifetime or many previous lifetimes way back. Which is one of the reasons why the Buddha encourages you to look at what's maintaining this habit now, as opposed to trying to dig up where it came from. Because as you said, you're trying to trace back where did ignorance begin, and you just can't find it. Even he couldn't find it. But you can see what's sustaining your ignorance right now. As you said, it's one of the five hindrances, or a combination of the five. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and anxiety, or doubt. Think about that. These are the things that cause us to suffer. They're obstacles to our concentration, but they also maintain the ignorance that keeps us suffering. Things you're doing right now. Things you don't have to be doing right now. As the Buddha also noted, what we're experiencing right now is a combination of the results of past actions, our present actions, and the results of present actions. And of those three, our present actions are the ones that underlie everything else. We wouldn't experience the results of past actions without current actions. This is something the Buddha discovered as a causal principle that's realizable only in the act of awakening, when his present moment actions ended. His experience of past karma ended at that moment as well. He went beyond the six senses to something that lay outside. Which gives even more importance to what you're doing right now. Independent co-arising. the intentions of the present moment come prior to your experience of the six senses, and the experience of the six senses is past karma, basically, results of past karma. So what you're doing right now will shape how you experience what's coming in from the past, which means you can learn how not to suffer even when bad things are coming from the past. These are all good things to know. That you have these potentials, you have these possibilities. Which is why the Buddha gave so much importance to them. The issues of whether you have a self or not, or whether you have a permanent self or no permanent self, those are not really the causes of suffering. Issues of whether the world is eternal or not, that's not a cause for suffering. Which is why the Buddha put those issues aside. He focused on the metaphysical issues that you can actually put into use. And that can actually be known through the meditation. It's hard to imagine what kind of experience you have in meditation that will let you know whether things are empty or not, whether you have a permanent self or no permanent self or no self at all, or how you would know about the nature of the world out there. But you can learn from your meditation that when you do X, you get Y as a result. When you do Y, you get Z as a result. Those things you can see. Now the Buddha gives you some directions to have some confidence in the fact that the lessons you learn now can be applicable to what you're doing tomorrow. But because of the nature of past karma, there may be some variations. So this is why it's complex, and we have to take the Buddha's guidance. Why, when he teaches us the right view, it is right view and not right knowledge yet. But when you put it into practice, have some confidence that what the Buddha learned about action applies to you too, as it applies to everybody. See how far that can take you. Have a sense of the power that puts in your hands, that you can do good, and it really is objectively good. You can apply the teachings that worked 2,500 years ago, and they'll work for you now. You've got this power. It is possible to abuse it. You can make lots of bad choices. But why would you want to? Each small good choice has value. Each small bad choice has power too. So keep watch over your mind. Nurture the good things inside. Allow the bad things to starve. The Buddha gives you a metaphysics that's useful, so learn how to use it well.